rods, and then they were put into the innermost cell of the prison. In other words, they're not getting out anytime soon. This isn't good. And yet, in the midst of that, what do? They sing songs and they tell stories. Now, we might sing songs for a lot of different reasons. Maybe it's to bring ourselves comfort. Maybe it was just for them to pass the time. But I get the sense that the reason they are singing in this story is because they trust so deeply in God that this isn't their entire story, that this isn't the end for them, that God has something new for them. And so they sing in praise even while they're in the midst of this prison. This story is a bit of a turnaround story. Because in effect, what we have are Paul and Silas, the one who are supposed to be prisoners, and they are free enough to be singing. Meanwhile, the jailer, who is outside, right? He's the guard. And yet, you notice in the story when there's an earthquake, it's bad enough that the jailer, he thinks everybody has escaped from this earthquake and he's ready to kill himself. And you ask yourself at that point, who are the free people and who are the people that are imprisoned? If it's so bad, he's going to do that. I started thinking about the jailer and the stories and songs that he knew. And my guess is his stories and songs all had to do with his worth as a jail guard, right? The only story he knew was that he was worth something as long as he was keeping prisoners where they were supposed to be. My guess is the only story and song he heard was from the Roman authorities, and he knew that his story would end if those prisoners escaped, because they would kill him. And that was the story that he knew, and he didn't know another song or story. Paul and Silas knew another story. They knew the story of the freedom of God, and when they got out of that prison, they told it to the prison guard, and it literally saved his life. They told him about Jesus. He said he wouldn't kill himself. They stopped him from that. They went back to his house and ate, and he and his household were baptized. The story that Paul and Silas told, the story that we hear about Jesus, the songs that we sing are so important because they are a different song than we hear in so many other parts of the world. They are another story about who we are and what we can be and what the world can look like. I started imagining if I were in that jail cell, what song I might be singing, or what story I might be telling. The songs and stories of God for centuries have been used as acts of resistance and of new ways of telling stories. During slavery, spirituals arose because slaves said, "We are more than what the world tells us. We are not just slaves. We will not be kept down, and God has something else in mind for us." And the spirituals arose. All through history, songs have been used to tell us there is a different way. God has another story. What story or song would you be singing in that jail cell? Do you know the songs and stories of God enough in your heart? Do you trust them that they would be the ones to come bubbling up? Sometimes I wonder for myself, because there are so many alternate stories we know and hear. But I know, and I have experienced, that the stories and songs God gives us are enough to save our lives sometimes and bring us the comfort and hope we need. I once knew a woman who was suffering from depression. And this woman, I came into the kitchen once, and the woman was saying, "I'm stupid, stupider. She just kept saying this. And as I talked with her, I come to find out her father, growing up, would always tell her she was stupid. Now, as it turns out, she didn't do very well in school. She wasn't a good student. She'd made some very poor life decisions. And so she thought, well, my dad's right. I'm stupid. You see all these stupid things I've done? So she's stupid. This is the story she knows. This is the song she's been singing. This is the mantra that goes on and on through her head. She and I went to church together. And at one point, she went to speak with the pastor. And the pastor said to her, okay, here's what I want you to do. You need a new song. Every time you start to say in your head, I'm stupid, what I want you to do instead is read Psalm 139. Now, if you've not read Psalm 139, don't know it by heart. It is the one that says, you put me together in my mother's womb. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And so every time, instead of saying, I'm stupid, she would start to say, fearfully and wonderfully made, and fearfully and wonderfully made, and fearfully and wonderfully made. That became her new song. And it literally saved her life. Now, I am not saying that every depression can be treated with one Bible verse, right? People need medications, people need therapy, it is important, but she was able to sing a new song through the words of God, through what God tells us is important. She was able to change that song of I'm stupid to I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God has a new song for us. And even if those words don't save our lives, they certainly bring us comfort and hope in times that are so hard. I was listening to stories about this Southwest airline incident from last week. And in the midst of this terrible plane, people were saying they were holding the hand of the person next to them, saying the Lord's Prayer, right? Bringing comfort in the midst of this turbulent thing are the words of God. I can't tell you how many people I've been sitting with as they die. Sometimes they don't even know their own name because they're suffering from Alzheimer's or dementia, or they're just so drugged out. And yet, if I say the Lord's Prayer, or I say Psalm 23, and most often if I say it in the King James Version, people start saying it with me. Sometimes I've been places where people's mouths are so dry from all the morphine and things at the end of their life, they can hardly talk, they can't even form words, their mouths are so dry, and I'll begin to sing a hymn, and they'll mouth the words with me. These words of God, these songs we learn, matter. They save our lives, they comfort us, they give us hope for what is and what's to come. The question then is, do we know them? Do we internalize them? How do we know them or learn them? I was thinking about all the songs I know. I could probably sing you most commercial jingles from the 1980s, right? You want the Oscar Mayer Wiener jingle? I know the whole thing, right? Why? I know them all because I was a TV kid. So I watched them over and over and over again, and they just are cemented in my brain. What do we listen to and hear over and over again? What is cemented in our brain? My hope and my prayer is that it is words of love, that they are words of love and comfort and hope that God gives us. What we hear, what we do hear matters. You don't just come here on a Sunday morning because you don't have anywhere better to be. You come here on a Sunday morning because you know the world is telling you one story. And you know that can't be all that there is. There is more to the story. And so we come here to hear the words of God. And in a world that loves to sell fear and loves to sell division and loves to sell the story that you are not enough and you will not be enough, we come here and hear another story and another song. That you are loved, that you are forgiven, that you need not be afraid, that you are enough and you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Those are the words that we come here to hear, a different story, a new song. That matters. So what story spins through your head? What songs do you wish you could just shake out? I know you have them. We all have them. What when you go out there do you wish would just go away because it doesn't feel like a song or a story that's helping you in any way, shape, or form? What are those stories? Whatever they are, the story of God is bigger. God is bigger than all of those stories, and the Word of God and the songs of God will drown them out. They can change things. That is what we come here to hear and learn. So hear it today. Whatever other story you've been told, whatever other story you know that tells you are not enough, you are not loved, you are not forgiven, those are not right or true. The story that is true is the story of God. Hear that today. Know that today. And then because it needs repeating, come back next week. We'll be here and we'll tell the story again. And the week after that, and the week after that, and the week after that, because it needs repeating. Our skulls are thick, and the words we hear elsewhere are so powerful. But the words of God, the words of love, those are words that just might save your life. So hold on to that song and believe that story. Amen.